The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
We need a generation of fearless fathers who are willing to establish without apology a patriarchy of leadership rooted in scripture, grounded in love, and fueled by boldness, not domination, not tyranny, righteous authority, the kind God designed, the kind a family depends on, the kind a nation cannot survive without. There are moments in history when men must rise, not drift, not hide, not apologize, rise. And I believe we're living in such a moment. The culture is confused. Homes are broken. Identity is scattered. Strength is mocked. Discipline is questioned. Masculinity is smeared. But God is not confused. God has not changed his design. Has not rewritten his order. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer is simple. Rebuild them. And that is why we need a generation of fearless fathers who are willing to establish without apology a patriarchy of leadership rooted in scripture, grounded in love, and fueled by boldness, not domination, not tyranny, righteous authority. The kind God designed. The kind a family depends on. The kind a nation cannot survive without. Let's start at the foundation. Fatherhood is not man's idea. It is God's design. Ephesians 3:14 and 15 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God himself sets the pattern. The family is named after the father. Leadership flows downward. Responsibility flows upward. Everything rises and falls on fundamentals. In a home, the fundamental is the father. Not because he's better than the mother, but he's charged with different duties. A father is the protector, the provider, priest, of the home, the leader, the visionary, the boundary setter, the example giver, anchor, the bedrock. And when a father stands, the household stands. And when he leads, the home stabilizes. When he walks with God, blessings flow through generations. Psalms 112:2 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Fatherhood is legacy work. We are building men and women who will shape tomorrow long after we're gone. And that requires strength, fearless, bold strength. Patriarchy is what the young kids call a trigger word. But biblical patriarchy simply means the rule of fathers. It's a structure of leadership rooted in responsibility, sacrifice, and moral guidance. It is Abraham. It's Noah. It's Isaac and Jacob. It's David. It's Joseph. It's every man in Scripture who stood in his role before God. That is patriarchy, commanding, instructing, guiding, protecting. Patriarchy is not abuse. It prevents abuse. Patriarchy is not oppression. It creates stability. Patriarchy is not anti-woman. It makes a woman more secure, cherished, and supported. We don't need a softer society. We need a society that's built upon a firm foundation. A home without a father at the helm is a ship without a captain. Storms are coming. The waters are rough. A fearless father stands at the helm. And if we're going to talk about fearless fatherhood, we need to speak plainly about the force that has warred against it for over the course of time itself, not just fourth wave feminism, not just the loud, modern, destructive kind, the whole tree, the entire ideological system from the very beginning when Satan tempted Eve in the garden. Feminism did not start with equality. It started with resentment rejection of authority, rejection of the household structure, and ultimately a rejection of God's design. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And feminism, at its core, is rebellion institutionalized and marketed as liberation. Feminism's foundational lie is simple. God's structure for men and women is wrong, and we will build our own while we form a feminized God in our own image. Every wave of feminism has carried this same poisonous seed. First wave feminism told women they should distrust the protection of men. Second wave feminism told women the home was a prison. Third wave feminism taught women to despise motherhood and celebrate promiscuity. Fourth wave feminism openly declares war on men, fathers, sons, and biblical structure, an overt war on God. It didn't get corrupted along the way. The ideology was corrupt from the beginning. It promised empowerment, but produced bitterness. It promised freedom, but produced loneliness. It promised progress, but produced destruction. Jeremiah 6:16 warns, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Feminism says the opposite. Reject the old paths, overturn the order, follow your feelings. But whenever a society rebels against God's order, it pays for it in broken families, broken children, broken men, and broken women. Feminism is not a movement for women. It's a movement against fathers. Because the moment you remove the biblical father, you remove the structure, you remove the protector, you remove the authority, you remove the anchor. And without fathers, society becomes weak and directionless. Psalm 82:5 describes today perfectly. "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." Why? Because feminism has waged a war against the very thing that stabilizes a civilization: patriarchal fatherhood. Feminism is not misguided. It's malicious. It's not confused, but corrupt. It's not broken. It's openly hostile to God Himself. And Christian men must stop treating it like a debate and start recognizing it as a spiritual enemy of the home. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Feminism rejects this. Feminism despises this. Feminism calls this oppression. Feminism calls this outdated. But God calls it order. God calls it good. God calls it His design. And that's why all feminism must be rejected. Gently, if need be, to the individuals, but firmly and succinctly toward the ideology. Because you cannot build fearless fatherhood while entertaining a doctrine that exists to destroy it. Here's the heart of this episode. What does fearless fatherhood look like in a culture that tells men to sit down, shut up, and apologize for existing? Fearless fathers must spiritually lead their home. Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Not discuss, not consider, not offer options, serve. A fearless father sets the spiritual temperature of the home. He prays out loud. He reads the word. He blesses his children. He honors his wife. He walks in holiness. Fearless fathers provide not just money, direction, discipline, encouragement, vision, comfort, and clarity. Fearless fathers correct with love. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Correction is love. Absence is neglect. Fearless fathers stand against cultural lies. They say, "No, that's not God's design. No, you're not teaching my children that. No, we're not bowing to that ideology." Leadership requires saying no, even when the world says yes. Fearless fathers love their wives visibly. Ephesians 5:25 commands, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's not soft leadership. That's sacrificial headship. Fearless fathers stay unashamed of their role. A man who fears God need not fear culture. A man who walks with Christ need not walk on eggshells. Let me paint you a word picture. Simple, practical, and unforgettable. Once a farmer had a strong field surrounded by a wooden fence. Every morning he walked the perimeter. He checked the boards. He inspected the ground. He made sure no predators had slipped through. One day his neighbor said, "Why do you keep walking that fence line? The field looks fine." Farmer smiled and said, "The day the fence looks weak is the day I'm too late." A fence doesn't fail all at once. It fails one loose board at a time. And a home doesn't collapse all at once. It collapses one unchecked influence at a time. That farmer wasn't paranoid. He was responsible. He wasn't controlling. He was protecting. He wasn't insecure. He was vigilant. That is fearless fatherhood. Walking the perimeter. Checking the boards. Watching the influences. Protecting the field. Guarding the gates. That's patriarchy in action. Not dominance, but diligence. At the end of the day, leadership is not optional. If men do not lead, something else will. Feminism will fill the vacuum. Government will fill the vacuum. Government schools will fill the vacuum. Entertainment will fill the vacuum. Peer groups will fill the vacuum. Algorithms will fill the vacuum. Artificial intelligence will fill the vacuum. But nothing leads a home like a father in his God-given role. Mordecai said to Esther in Esther 4:14, I realize there's a little bit of irony referencing this verse, but it's still true. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I believe God is saying the same thing to fathers today. You are here. This is your generation. This is a cultural moment. In this crisis, for such a time as this, do not shrink. Do not apologize. Do not doubt. Do not hesitate. Stand firm. Lead boldly, love deeply, speak truthfully, protect fiercely, build generationally. Your children need it. Your wife needs it. Your community needs it. Your nation needs it. And God commands it. Fearless fatherhood is not about being perfect. It's about being present, planted, and purposeful. And when fathers rise, families rise. When families rise, communities rise. When communities rise, nations rise. Fearless fatherhood is how we rebuild the foundations.